The belief that God became man and dwells among us in Jesus Christ is at the very heart of Orthodox Christian life and worship. Orthodox worship, therefore, involves the whole person, heart, mind, body, and soul. In our services of worship, Christians pray and sing in liturgies that are not of this world. Ancient Faith Radio now presents Singing the Triumphal Hymn with Father John Finley, exploring the Orthodox faith through music and liturgy. Father John is a composer and musician and is with the Missions and Evangelism Department of the Antiochian Orthodox Church. Here's Father John.
We turn now in our discussion of the shape of the liturgy from the liturgy of the word to the liturgy of the faithful, which begins immediately after the dismissal of the catechumens. And I'm going to read directly from Father Alexander Schmemann in his book, Liturgy and Life. It has an introductory part consisting of two prayers of the faithful, in which the priest asks God to make the community worthy to offer the holy sacrifice. Meanwhile, the antimension, which is that cloth with the signature of the bishop, is unfolded on the altar, signifying the preparation of the Lord's table for the divine banquet. The antimension, which means instead of the table, is the sign of the unity of each community with its bishop. It bears the signature of the bishop and is given to the priest and the parish as authorization to perform the sacrament. The church is not a loosely federated network of parishes, but an organic unity of life, faith, and love. Of this unity, the bishop is the foundation and the guardian. Therefore, according to St. Ignatius of Antioch, nothing in the church is to be done without the bishop, without his permission and blessing. Quote, "Let no one do anything that pertains to the church apart from the bishop. You should regard that Eucharist as valid, which is celebrated either by the bishop or by someone he authorizes. And where the bishop is present, let the congregation gather, just as where Jesus Christ is, there is the Catholic Church." This is from his letter to the Smyrnians. In addition to his priesthood, the priest is the delegate of the bishop in the parish, and the antimension is the sign that both the priest and the parish are under the jurisdiction of the bishop and through him in the living apostolic succession and unity of the church. We move now to the time of the offertory. The cherubim hymn, the sensing of the altar and the congregation, and the transfer of the Eucharistic elements to the altar in the great entrance, constitute the first essential movement of the Eucharist. The offertory, which is the sacrificial act of the church offering to God the oblation of our lives. We speak very often of the sacrifice of Christ, but so easily forget that the sacrifice of Christ requests and implies our own sacrifice, or rather, our uniting ourselves to the sacrifice of Christ, for we are his body and the partakers of his life. A sacrifice is the natural movement of love, which is the gift of oneself, a self-denial for the sake of the other. And when I love somebody, my life is in him whom I love. I give him my life, freely, willingly, joyfully, and this giving away becomes the very meaning of my life. The mystery of the Holy Trinity is the mystery of the perfect and absolute sacrifice, because it is the mystery of absolute love. God is Trinity because God is love. The whole of the Father's essence is eternally given away to the Son, And the whole of the Son's life is in having the essence of the Father as his own. To exist as the perfect image of the Father. And finally, this mutual sacrifice of perfect love, this eternal gift of the Father to the Son, is the very Spirit of God, Spirit of life, of love, of perfection, of beauty, of the whole inexhaustible depth of divine essence. The mystery of the Trinity is essentially for the proper understanding of the Eucharist, and first of all, of its sacrificial character. God so loved the world that he gave, that is, he sacrificed his Son to us to bring us back to himself. The Son of God so loved his Father that he gave himself to him. His whole life was a perfect and absolute sacrificial movement. He performed it as the God-man, not only in his divinity, but also in his humanity, which he assumed out of divine love for us. In himself, he thus restored human life to perfection, as a sacrifice of love to God, a sacrifice not of fear, not of any kind of interest, but of love and love alone. And finally, this perfect life as love, and therefore as sacrifice, he gave to all who accept him and believe in him, restoring in them the initial relationship with God. The life of the church, being his life in us and our life in him, thus is necessarily a sacrificial life and eternal movement of love towards God. The essential attitude and the essential act of the church, which is the new humanity restored by Christ, is therefore the Eucharist, the act of love, thanksgiving, and sacrifice. Now it is possible for us to realize that at this first stage of the Eucharistic movement, the bread and wine that are being offered in the rite of offertory stand for us, that is, for our whole life, for the whole of our existence, for the entire world created by God for us. They are our food, but food is what makes us live and is that which becomes our body. By offering it to God, by sacrificing it to him, we show that our life is given away to him, and that we follow Christ, our head, in his movement of total love and sacrifice. Let us stress again, our sacrifice in the Eucharist is not distinct from that of Christ. It is not a new sacrifice. Christ offered himself once and for all, and his sacrifice, being full and perfect, makes any new sacrifice needless. But it is precisely the meaning of our Eucharistic offering that in it we are given the priceless possibility of entering into Christ's sacrifice, of being participants of his unique offering of himself to God, or in other terms, his unique and perfect sacrifice has made it possible for us, the church, his body, to be restored and readmitted into the fullness of true humanity, the sacrifice of praise and love. The one who has not understood this sacrificial character of the Eucharist, who has come to receive but not to give, has not accepted the very spirit of the church, which is above everything else the acceptance of and the participation in Christ's sacrifice. Thus, in the procession of the offertory, our very life is being brought to the altar, presented to God in an act of love and adoration. True, it is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who comes to be sacrificed, as we say in our hymn of the offertory on Great and Holy Saturday. It is his entrance as priest and oblation, and yet in him and with him we also lay on the paten, the members of his body, the partakers of his humanity. Let us put aside all earthly cares, sings the choir, and indeed have not all our cares been assumed in this unique and ultimate care that transfigures all our life, in this movement of love which brings us to the source and the giver and the content of life? May the Lord God remember all of you in his kingdom, says the priest while approaching the altar with the gifts. The love which Christ has poured into our hearts has its natural expression in the mutual love of Christians for each other. The kingdom of God is that of perfect unity, that they may be one even as we are one, as Christ prayed in his high priestly prayer, John 17. Therefore, there's no other way to approach God but in love. He remembers us if we remember each other. And whatever the number of those who offer this Eucharist, it is always the whole church, the unity of faith and love, that offers and is being offered. And this organic unity of the church is expressed in the commemoration of the great entrance. Now the priest has placed the gifts on the altar. He reads the prayer of oblation, asking God to accept this sacrifice, and he covers the paten and the chalice with the air. Just as the meaning of Christ's life and sacrifice was hidden from the powers and dominions of this world, our true life, the one we received from Christ, remains hidden, revealed to the faithful alone until the final advent or coming of Christ in his glory. Today, since the prayer of oblation, as all other prayers of the celebrant, is often read secretly or quietly, in the past they were read aloud. It was a litany of supplication that followed the great entrance. We move now to the time of the confession of faith and love. Since the sacrifice of the church is the sacrifice of love, the movement of the offertory is completed. It's sealed by the kiss of peace. Let us love one another that in one accord we may confess the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, one in essence and undivided. In the early days, the kiss of peace was transmitted from the celebrant to each member of the congregation, each giving it to the next one. Today, often we see only the priest, when concelebrating, kiss each other with the greeting, Christ is among us, he is and shall be. After expressing our unity of love, we express in the creed our unity of faith. The unity of the church is not a partial, limited, human unity along national, social, or emotional lines. It is the unity of truth, the divinely revealed total and absolute truth. The one who does not accept it does not belong to the church, for he has preferred something else to the truth. He has blinded himself and is still the slave of the old life with its errors and darkness and sins. Of this truth, the creed is the confession and thus the criterion. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten, begotten of the Father before all worlds, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, of one essence with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate, and suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
And that was Father John Finley with Singing the Triumphal Hymn, Exploring the Orthodox Faith Through Music and Liturgy. If you would like to write Father John, his email is singing@ancientfaith.com. That's singing@ancientfaith.com. This is a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.